Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis summarizes the purpose of Christianity as he understood it in one sentence. Quote, every Christian is to become a little Christ. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. He states the whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. A few pages later, he expands his argument and challenges us who are part of the established church, writing, the church exists for nothing else but to draw others into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, meaning all the churches, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, and even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. Lewis writes, God made humankind for no other purpose. At the end of the day, this is our mandate, our calling, our purpose, to make little Christs who are to be his hands, feet, mind, and mouth out in the world. Perhaps this is what Jesus was alluding to in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, as you heard Deacon Kevin read earlier, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Later, after his resurrection, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We are a sent people, always on the move, representing Jesus wherever we go. He gave the Great Commission, which for us Baptists runs deep in our DNA, for we are a people on mission, where Jesus said, therefore, or as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always until the end of the age. And before his ascension to the Father, he gave the great commandment where Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So as Christians who are a sent people, we are to take the great commitment, to make a great commitment to the great commission and the great commandment that we might make little Christs out in the world. You see, Jesus saw his disciples as extensions of himself, as missionaries with a life-changing message. In his commentary on the book of Acts, Dr. Cecil Sherman, one of my seminary professors, wrote, the first work of the missionary is to bear witness to Jesus. This is our first message. By way of Jesus, he says, we have access to God. So we are called to be his witnesses. Witnesses publicly testify and share their personal experiences of faith. We tell our story, and more often, and at times, more importantly, we live our story. As the song goes, they will know that we are Christians by our love. You and I have the responsibility of helping others know the love of Jesus. And we do that by being extensions of his love. And when we do that, we enhance the reputation of Jesus. When we are Jesus-centric and live and love like Jesus, people will want to know more about what this love is. Where does it come from? Why are you like that? They may even desire to come to our church to experience it in this fellowship. And they might just want to become one of his disciples too, being made a little Christ. Hence the title of this sermon, Heartfelt Outreach, Serving Beyond Sunday. What's this look like? What does it look like to serve beyond Sunday? perhaps we can start with what it doesn't look like. Pastor and author and one of my favorite podcasters, Carrie Newhoff, writes, "Spend 2 minutes talking to almost anyone outside of the Christian faith, and you're almost certain to hear a list of complaints that they have about Christians." I've heard it. Maybe you have too. This problem is not new. It's been around for a while, he says. As Mahatma Gandhi famously and sadly said, quote, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Newhoff writes, "The problem with many non-Christians isn't that they don't know any Christians. The challenge is they do." Many of us Christians would say that we have an image problem. We're treated unfairly, or we're being persecuted, or we're just badly misunderstood. And then Newhoff says, "I'm not so sure." And then he writes this, "It's not so much that Christians have an image problem. It's far more likely that we have an integrity problem. We are judgmental, hypocritical, and not genuine in our own relationships." That's not easy to hear. But we can change that. We are called to change that narrative. In a world where there is much cynicism about Christianity and our churches, and yes, we have an uphill climb, add to this busy schedules, nonstop work, and a plethora of other opportunities people have these days where they can spend their time, our work is cut out for us. And then there are the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, the people in our country who are not religiously affiliated. A recent Pew Research survey says that about 28% of adults in the United States are religiously unaffiliated, describing themselves as atheists or agnostics or nothing in particular when asked about their religion. So you and I are called to be Jesus' witnesses to all of these people, to make little Christs, that this broken world might be reconciled to God and be a better, more peaceful place. As little Christs, maybe we can change the narrative by taking a little Jesus everywhere we go, being his salt and his light. This is what was happening in the first century as described in the book of Acts. As Luke writes, and I'm going to read this again as we've been going through this series focusing on the five pillars of our church drawn from this passage. "The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The focus today is verses 44 and 45, and I'd like to hit on verse 47 very quickly. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They shared all of their resources. And then verse 45, they sold their property and possessions so that there was no need among the community to give to anyone who had need. And what I believe happened here, and I never really paid attention to this verse, or this word particularly in verse 47. Luke writes that the believers at the church gained the favor of those who were in the community. It says they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Have you ever thought about what it means to have the favor of others? I believe, as I've studied this word, literally this word can also be translated grace, that they had the grace of the people. But in this context, it means more they had the goodwill, or they had the respect, or they had the trust of the community. This tells us that the faith of these believers was authentic and was being carried out into the community in a very genuine way, such that it enhanced the reputation of Jesus and it made others trust them and wanted to be part of what was happening. And the church grew exponentially. So what about us? How can we enhance the reputation of Jesus in our community? How can we make his name great? How can we bear witness to his love in such a way that the people who are around us will want to be part of what God is doing in this place? Perhaps the answer is, instead of trying to fill our empty pews, that we would take the pews out into the community, that people might be drawn to Jesus through our words, our deeds, ultimately through our Christ-like love. How can we serve beyond Sunday? We used to ask WWJD. You remember that? Does somebody remember what WWJD means? Choir, do you know the answer? What would Jesus do? My daughter recently gave me this bracelet, which I wear, and it says HWLF. I think we have a slide for that. HWLF. He would love first. What would Jesus do? He would love first. That's how we can serve beyond Sunday and gain the favor, the respect, the trust of the community around us by being little Christs and taking a little Jesus everywhere you go. I'm going to summarize this story really quick because I think it will help. Some years ago, Dr. Jim Somerville, who is now pastor of Richmond's First Baptist Church, he served at First Baptist Church, Washington, D.C. And there is a significant community there, there was then and still is, of people experiencing housing insecurity. And Dr. Somerville saw that they were sleeping on the church steps and on the church grounds. So do you know what he did? He and one of the deacons got sleeping bags, and they went out and they spent the night with their guests. And their guests said, "You can't use sleeping bags, y'all. You got to use cardboard." So they taught Pastor Somerville and the deacon how to make a shelter out of cardboard box, probably a refrigerator box or a washing machine box, a TV box or something. And they got to know these guests who did not have homes. Then you know what Dr. Somerville did? He took a risk and he ordered a porta potty brought to the church because they did not have adequate facilities, especially for the women. And you know what happened? One of the board members or one of the folks put a padlock on the port-a-john. Do you think that stopped them? No. In fact, one of the members of that community ended up joining First Baptist Church, Washington, D.C., and became an active member of that congregation. If we make a difference in just the life of but one person, take a little Jesus to one person serving beyond Sunday, the choirs in heaven will rejoice.